2 John chapter 1, because there's only one chapter in 2 John. 2 John chapter 1, if you will, we're going to begin reading there in verse 1. 2 John chapter 1, we're trying out a new microphone tonight, and hopefully it will be a good one, and it'll last and work for a day or two. So we're just hoping things work, you know. So maybe it will. Maybe it will. 2 John chapter 1, all right? Look at verse 1, if you will. The Bible said, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever, grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father." I want to leave off reading there. I'll just tell you how it comes about that I'm preaching from this book tonight. Actually, on Monday afternoon, we had Brother Suttmeyer, who was with us, our missionary. He was with us Sunday, was a week ago. And he was staying in the apartment, and they left this Tuesday headed towards Albuquerque and then on out to California. But I asked him to speak, and so he spoke to the boys, and Mrs. Suttmeyer spoke to the girls. And Brother Suttmeyer used a verse over in 3 John as what he used. And I don't know, I was sitting there as I was listening to him speak, and I got to thinking about it, and I got to thinking about these two books, the book of 2 John, the book of 3 John. And we refer to these books as epistles. And the reason we do is because the word epistle means a letter. And that's exactly what the book of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, they are letters. And they were written by the Apostle John. And he's the same one that wrote the Gospel of John. But these books, a little bit different. And obviously, 2nd and 3rd John are real short. Okay, for instance, 2 John here has just got 13 verses, 298 words, and we're done. Very, very short verse and very short book. And I look at it, and you ever look at books like that and read some? Just look at verse 1 in 3 John. In 3 John, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." You ever wonder why? Why did God see fit to put this letter that John wrote, and he wrote it to this fellow. He said, "Do you believe there was a guy?" "Yeah, I believe there's a fellow named Gaius, and that's who he wrote to." All right? That's who I believe he wrote to. I believe he was writing to a special lady that had some children in chapter 2. And I've heard people, you know, try to come up with and readings. They say, "Well, that means she was this, or it was a church, and all that." No, it's not. Okay, I don't believe that. I believe there were some individuals, and John wrote to them. And he was inspired to write to them. And for some reason, God saw fit to put these two books in our Bible. All right? And I'm afraid a lot of times we have a tendency to look at them and we think they're very short. And we wonder, why did he include them in the canon of Scripture? Well, I'm not sure I've got the answers to why, but I know that he did. And the very fact that he did is, since he did, there's got to be something in it for us, okay? Now, more than just a few minutes of reading, there's got to be something in here for us, all right? We don't know the identity of this elect lady, if you will, all right? But obviously, John knew her. And by the way, it's not necessary that we know her to get what God has for us out of this book. It's not necessary for us to do this. And so, in reading the book, I got to thinking about it, and I got studying on it a little bit, and I believe one thing we can learn from these verses, just out of these four verses of just read, relationships. We have all kinds of relationships in life, all right? All kinds. There's business relationships. There's obviously family relationships. There's the church family relationship. Those, every relationship, they're important. There's casual relationships that you have. You just, yeah, how you doing? They're just a casual acquaintance. There's that real short acquaintance and short relationship that we have, for instance, with the person running the register at Walmart or the General Dollar Store or the Ace Hardware or Lowe's or something like that. You say, not me, my relationship is with a machine. I go to the machine that checks me out. Go ahead if you want to. I'm not going to do that. I'm not cutting somebody out of a job, all right? I'm just going to go by it. Plus, I feel stupid talking to a machine. You know, I'm used to going up there and checking out and say, howdy, how you doing? You know, and we chat just a little bit. Why would you want to do that to a machine? Plus, I have a tendency to not have good relations with machines. They let me down. Do y'all have that problem? I mean, somebody else, they can sit down there and work. I'll do the same thing they do. It won't work for me. And I get aggravated with machines that way. And I've been in places and people say, I'm having trouble with my computer. I say, slap it. I said, it won't help it, but it'll make you feel good because it makes me feel better when I slap mine, all right? You know, machines, I'm not going to do that. But I like a relationship with people. I like to see people and get acquainted with them. And I want you to look at just thought tonight for relationships just a little bit. The first thing I believe with all my heart, the basis for our relationships ought to be one thing, and that thing is the truth. The truth. Notice what he said there in verse 1. He said, whom I love in the truth. And he said, not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. He said, I believe the basis of our relationships ought to be truth. Look, Christians are to be different. Would you at least, if you can't say amen, could you nod your head, all right? You with me? We ought to be different. We ought to be different. We're not to be the same as the world. We're not to act like them. We're not to sound like them. Not to look like them or anything else. Everything about a Christian ought to be different. You get saved, God begins to work on you. Salvation and a close walk with God is absolutely going to have an effect upon every part of your life. And it dead sure ought to have an effect on your relations with people. It ought to temper them, all right? Salvation does more than just change your eternal destination, okay? If that's the only thing that changed, then you got shortchanged, all right? When you got born again, if the only thing changed was, well, I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven. Good, it changed your eternal destination. But surely other things change. Man, it'll change your outlook, your inlook, your uplook, you know. And it just change everything about you. Why? Because you've been born again. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. It ought to change you, all right? It ought to definitely then have an effect upon our relationships with other people. And I'm convinced the basis of every close relation ought to be truth. Ought to be truth. Ought to be founded in the truth. Hey, listen, if you're married, your relationship with your spouse better be grounded, founded, surrounded in truth. Truth. You start deceiving your spouse, you're in trouble. Your marriage is in trouble, and you're wrong. All right? Needs to be truth there. Needs to be truth. When you go see your doctor, do you tell them the truth? No, I don't tell him everything. Well, you ought to. Be truthful with him. You know, just be truthful. Brother Dunbar was talking to the kids Monday and first day of school, and he was talking to them there, and he said, look, you ought to be honest, you ought to be truthful, even if, you know, it puts you in a bad light, you ought to. You know what? I believe that. I believe that. I think we'll just be honest. And there ought to be truthfulness that comes out of us. Our friendships, our associations are to be built upon truth. What are they built on in the world? A lot of times they're built on mutual admiration. You know, we just, I just admire you, or you admire me, or whatever. Maybe common interest. Sometimes it's selfish interest. People build up a relationship, but it's underhanded, it's deceitful. A lot of relationships are just built on personalities. Well, our personalities, we just get along. Good for you. Good for you. But is that good enough, all right? We could go on and on. A lot of things bring people together. But I'm convinced as a child of God, with us, our relationships need to be built upon truth. Now, obviously, I am not talking about just any old truth. I'm not talking about relative truth for sure. I'm not talking about scientific truth. Not speaking of popular truth. I'm talking about scriptural truth. And you say, what's truth? Well, in John 17:17, the Bible said, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Listen, the word of God, the truth of the word of God, is the thing that is to be the basis of our relationships with people. Your relationship with your spouse ought to be built on biblical principles. Biblical truth. Our relationship with fellow church members, folks in the church, is to be built on scriptural principles. Solidly based Christian biblical principles. That ought to be, hey, when you go to work, you sit down, you may be working with a boss that is lost as he can be, but your conduct ought to be scripturally based. It ought to be the Word of God, all right? That the truth of the Word of God ought to set us apart. Ought to set us apart. I'm kind of careful talking to Brother Dunbar. He's needing to swap vehicles. He's having trouble with his. And he said, I really don't want to sell it to somebody. I said, I know exactly what you mean. Know exactly what you mean. Because if I'm trying to sell my vehicle, what that means is I don't want it anymore. Now, it's not because all of a sudden I just dying to have a brand new car. No. When I've gotten rid of a car, it's because I'm looking at it thinking, this thing's fixing to cost me some money. It's going to cost me some money. So if I'm going to sell it maybe to Brother Marshall, he comes up and he says, anything wrong with it? I said, well, nothing's right with it or I'd keep it, all right? Well, he's going to look at me and say, well, I don't want it. I said, well, I don't blame you, but I just need to sell it, okay? I've got to tell you the truth, you know. Got to tell you the truth. Our friendships, our associations, the truth. The truth. Scripturally, treating people the way the Word of God says we ought to do it. All right? That's the basis for our relationship. What is it? It's truth. The truth of the Word of God. What the Bible says, that's the way I'm to treat you. As your pastor, I'm to have the relationship with you based on the Word of God. What the Bible says. I'm not to be one thing here in the pulpit, something else out there. It's to be the same, all right? It's to be the same. Okay, so the basis of our relationship is the truth. Now I want you to look at the bond of our relationship, all right? The bond of our relationship. Look there in verse 1 again. He said, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. Whom I love in the truth. The bond for relationships is truth. Is love, excuse me. It's love. So what do you mean? Well, I'm not talking about what passes for love in the world. I'm not talking, especially that syrupy kind of junk that's out there. You know, the kind you see on Hallmark movies? That's not what I'm talking about, all right? That syrupy kind of stuff, all right? No, not at all. Hey, I'm not talking about a selfish love. I'm not talking about a lustful love, but a bond that comes from within. Now, remember, I said we're Christians, all right? That bond that comes from within, a spirit to a spirit, influenced and led by the Spirit of God. That's the kind of love we're to have, all right? That is to be the bond of our relationship. That's what ties us together. Now, it's based on truth out of the Word of God, but the glue, if you will, the bond is love. Is love. It's the kind of love that you can only get from God, all right? Number one, love for the truth. Love for the truth. I mean, there ought to be a love for the truth. And, we're talking about, I mentioned to you that obviously if you're have a spouse, your husband or wife, or you're thinking about it, you're planning to get married, there ought to be truth between the two of you. There ought to be total truth between those people, and there ought to be a love for the truth. There shouldn't be anything that you say, well, I'm going to tell them later. No, I mean, if you know there's something, you ought to be honest. Be honest. I'm thinking of a joke right now that I've heard, but I just don't think it's appropriate. There's nothing wrong with the joke, but, it just doesn't fit really good. So not going to go there. But, hey, we're to have a love for the truth. It's love for the truth that spurs us to put that truth into action. And one of the great truths in the Word of God is we're to love one another. We're to love one another. And I realize that love is on different levels and different relationships. But we're to love one another. And that love, it's something that comes from within us, all right? There'll be no deceit. There'll be no distrust. There'll be no disloyalty. None of that can abide the truth, okay? None of that can abide the truth. So none of those things ought to be present in the relationship that we as Christians have with other people. All right, there ought to be a love. You said, preacher, do you love that person down there at Walmart that's running the cash register? Yeah, in one sense I do. One sense I do, yes. And you should too. You should too. You say, well, they're hateful. That's okay, you can love hateful people. You can love hateful people. My wife and I sometimes joke about an individual at a certain post office, an employee. And there is a particular one that can be kind of cranky, you know. But you know what? It's okay to love that person. It's okay to love that person. The truth of the matter is when we get in a situation where we're looking at an employee and they're a big crank, you know, and you think, well, man, you must have woke up on the wrong side of bed this morning. Well, hey, the truth is we don't know what's happened to them that day. Maybe you could make their day if you wouldn't respond to their crankiness with your wonderful crankiness, all right? But it's justified. I didn't mean it's okay. You know, it's okay to love people. That the basis of relationship and the bond, all right, the basis is the truth of the Word of God, but the bond, the glue that holds that relationship is love, all right? It's love for the truth, love for the truth. Hey, because I love the truth of the Word of God, that's why I'm willing to love some other people. But even past that, not only love for the truth, but love for the giver of truth. Love for the one that gave us the truth. Hey, if we love the Lord the way we ought to, it will cause us to love other people. Not just for what we can get, but for what we can give them. What we can give them. I'll remind you that great verse in the Word of God that a lot of people seem to know or know about says, for God so loved the world that he got. Oh, wait a minute. That's not what it says. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Hey, the truth is when you talk about love, the real sign that you love is the fact that you give. That's the real sign that you you can tell parents that love their children by what they give them. By what they give them. Sometimes they give them a spanking. That's real love. Because they need it. They need it. Let me say this. Parents that never discipline, never work to discipline, they don't love their children. I don't care what they say. They don't love them the way they should. But not only that, we give them good things. We give them good things. Now, some kids might say, well, my parents don't give me anything. Well, are you well fed? You get to sleep in a bed or you have to sleep on the front porch, all right? They give you things. They give you things. Our love that holds our relationship together ought to be, first of all, we love the one that gave, all right? We love the one who gave us the truth. And that truth helps us to build the relations that we have. And you know what? We ought to love the giver of truth. We ought to love the truth, but we ought to love those that love the truth. We ought to love the... Look here at verse 1 again. He said, not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. We ought to love the people that love the truth. Man, I like to get around people. I've told you many times, I'll go, and sometimes great distances, to hear preaching, because I'm going to go to somebody that loves the truth, and I love somebody that'll give me the truth, all right? And I love the truth. What a blessing, you know? And it didn't take long. Brother Noble, we ask you to pray for him tonight, all right? Didn't take me long to love Brother Noble. It didn't take me long to love him, because I found out he loves the truth. Man, if you love the truth, I can love you pretty. It's easier to love you, okay? Then you say, what about those who don't love the truth? Well, you love them in spite of the fact. You still ought to love them, all right? Because love is that bond, that glue for our... See this, all right? What is the business of our relationship? Business of our relationship. Would you look at verse 2? I believe this for truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. The business for relations is the truth's sake. The truth's sake. Have you ever stopped and think, what about your relationships with people? I'm married to my, you know, I got married, so we just have kids and have family. It ain't got nothing to do with love, you know, for the truth. Well, I hope it does. Well, I'm friends with old Fred Smith over yonder, but it doesn't have anything to do... Well, I hope it does. I hope the business of that relationship is for the truth's sake. For the truth's sake, you say, what do you mean? Well, one, preserve the truth. Preserve the truth, all right? Hey, we lose sight oftentimes of the truth because people aren't exposed to it enough. We've got problems in our country right now by people who've not been exposed to the truth. People that have not been exposed to the truth. They do not appreciate the freedom we have, and they're willing to bargain away their freedom, thinking, I'll give up my freedom and let the government take care of me. Their problem is they've not been exposed to enough truth. Not been exposed to enough truth. Now, what they need to do is vacation about 3 years in communist China. Government will take care of you. And they'll keep their eye on you, too. You won't do anything that ain't okay with them. Man, they have got a massive infrastructure there, and it's growing all the time. Facial recognition everywhere. Cameras everywhere. Why? Keep an eye on people. Because they don't trust people. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't trust the government. That's why we need to keep an eye on them, all right? Keep an eye on them. But, hey, what's the problem? Well, our relationships haven't been for the truth's sake. We've not saw fit to preserve the truth. It helps to preserve the truth when we can see the truth in action. Helps to preserve it. Can I say this to you? One of the greatest things parents can do for their children is show their children that we love each other. Mom and dad love each other. Mom and dad love each other. We've got a massive problem in this country. Massive problem in this country. Look, you've seen it on TV. You've seen it because some sports or some entertainer turns around and takes his fist and smacks his girlfriend, knocks her cold, and then maybe drags her out of the elevator. And let me say this to you. They did not learn that kind of action in a godly home. They grew up in a home where the truth wasn't preserved. Where the truth wasn't preserved. And so they don't know how to treat people. They don't know why. No truth. They have not enough truth. Right? We preserve the truth by presenting it to people and saying, I want to show it to you. I want to show it to you. This is the truth. Hey, this is the way the truth works. This is the way it works. And it ought to be that way. So for the truth's sake, that's the business of our relationship. Why? To preserve the truth. Not only that, to proclaim the truth. John wrote about it, all right? Now, you may not write much, and when you do, you ought to have some emphasis on the truth. I hope what you write is the truth, all right? And it should be. But what we speak is to be the truth. You don't have to filter the truth. You don't have to apologize for the truth. You don't have to hide from the truth, all right? We're to proclaim it. We're to proclaim it. As Christians, we're to proclaim the truth of this book. We're to just let people know, hey, truth is, here it is. There's petitions circulating in Halton City. It's not circulating, but you can go to, it's either four or five locations in Halton City, and they have advertised. Those of you in Halton City, you get that yellow card. How many of you got that yellow card in the mail? All right, you got that yellow card in the mail. And what they want you to do is come to these locations and sign a petition to make Halton City completely wet. All right, in other words, liquor sales all anywhere, everywhere, all the way in Halton City. Now, I thought we had already lost this battle back yonder when the Oscars restaurant and Hofbräu came together and they pushed the liquor by the drink, and they got that passed, and I was so happy to see Oscars go under right after that, and I would love to see Hofbräu close. Now, I got nothing against the people that work there, but I hate liquor, man. I'll be honest with you, I just detest it. You say, why? Seeing what it does to people. Seeing what it does to people. All this business, 90% of the child abuse as far as physically harming a child is done because somebody's drunk and it's not the child. It's not the child. A lot of spousal abuse is done because they're drunk. They're drunk, okay? So, man, that's what we need. More booze. I'm like Billy Sunday. We don't need more grog. We need more God, okay? But, hey, the truth of the matter is we need to proclaim that truth. I remember when I was going into Sam's one day, and this guy said, hey, I want you to sign this deal so Sam's will be able to sell booze. I said, he said wine, I think. He didn't use that term. He said, want them to be able to sell wine. I said, where's the petition that says I don't want them to sell it? Well, one over here. Yeah. Hey, look, there's a problem in our land, okay? And one of the greatest problems is God's people don't proclaim the truth. We ought to fight that kind of stuff, all right? We ought to stand against it. We ought to let people know, hey, no, I don't want to do it. It might be a good thing if all of us would go visit one of those places and say, I'm looking for the petition against your petition. I'm looking for the petition against your petition. And we need to be aware of it. Hey, the business for our relationship is to see to it, is for the truth's sake. It's for the propagation of the truth. Pass it on. Get verse 4, would you? This is the saddest thing in our society. We don't see much of this. John wrote to this lady, and he said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Who? Your kids. Your children. I'm so thankful for the heritage handed down to me. I'm so grateful for it. I had grandparents that were faithful in church. They were faithful in church. And their kids, for the most part, faithful in church. And when I say for the most part, I mean the huge majority. The huge majority. That's on my dad's side, my mom's side too. Faithful in church. Then it gets to me. My brother and I, faithful in church. Got numerous cousins, faithful in church. Faithful in church. The challenge, though, is to pass it to the generation. Pass it to the next generation. We fail to do that. We don't propagate the truth. Our relationships are for the truth's sake. Look, a lot of our relationship here in the house of God, what's for? To propagate the gospel. We want to pass it on. want to pass it on. I want to pass it on the way I got it. Pure, unadulterated, not tampered with, not tinkered with, not changed, not altered, not made to fit the culture that's changing. No, the same truth I got. Pass it on. I want to see my kids bringing their kids up in church. I'm glad they are. When they quit, I'm going to kill them, and I'll help take over taking care of the grandkids, all right? Now listen, I want them to stay in the house of God. It's everything we can do. Boy, I realize it's one of the toughest things in the world. And by the way, you're here, your kids get grown, they leave the house. Man, I realize with all my heart that what you can do is extremely limited. I'm going to tell you this, I'd be on my knees. I'd be on my knees constantly begging God to keep my kids and my grandkids in church. And then the next generation, if the Lord doesn't come, just be on my knees, begging God. I'd do everything I could, but I'd be begging God. Hey, the business of our relationships for the truth's sake. Now, what's the basics of the relationship? Ever think about that? What is the basics of relationships that you have? Yeah, I believe a great deal of it is found in verse 3. Would you look there? Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Hey, the basics of the relationship, really three things, grace, mercy, and peace. Grace, mercy, and peace. We need to learn to extend to others just at least a bit of the grace that's been extended to you. I need to extend what's been given to me to somebody else. Give them a little grace. So what grace? Grace is that you get what you don't deserve. You get what you don't deserve. Grace. So, well, give me an example. You can love somebody that doesn't deserve to be loved. You can love somebody like that. You can pray for them. You can do anything, everything you could for them. Remember that illustration I was talking about down there at the wherever? And you're across the counter, somebody's crabby. You're at McDonald's or some other healthy eating place. And you go in and they say, "What do you want?" And you want to reach across the counter and grab them by the shirt and say, "What did I do to you?" You know, you can give them some grace. You can give them some grace. You don't have to retaliate. I mean, are you with me here? Grace, just extend to people a little bit of what was given to you. You and I have been the recipient of so much we don't deserve. All of us, we have, all right? What we give back to them, all right? What we give back to them, it ought to be in spite of what they are, maybe. Hey, grace brought us salvation. We sure didn't deserve that, all right? Man, we can turn around for grace to people, too. We can talk to them about salvation. There's one thing you can forgive them, you can give them. Well, they didn't ask. Okay, you can give it without being asked. You can give something without being asked. It's okay to extend that. Okay, we're talking about your relationship. I did something this morning I hardly ever do because I've got where I can't stomach the show, and that's the Today Show. But I had it on. I just had it on this morning as I was getting ready. I had the other stuff on, the local news, which I can stand. But that came on, and I didn't get over there and change it. And they had this couple on there that were from somewhere, and they were celebrating their 25th anniversary. And so they, folks on Today asked them, "To what do you attribute your 25 years?" And the woman said, "He has come to realize that everything I do and say is right." Now, hopefully that was said in a little bit of a jest, okay? But the truth of the matter is, one of the greatest things married people can learn to give to one another is grace, and we can offer forgiveness without being asked. Okay, I'm going to forgive you for what you did, okay? I'll just forgive you. What am I going to worry about? Just forgive you. We can extend that to them. That's something we can offer to them. Grace. Grace. The basics of relationship. Man, I love the grace that I've got. Friends, I have got a lot of things from a lot of people I didn't deserve. A lot of things from a lot of people. Good things. I've got a few things I didn't deserve that I got that weren't good. But, man, I've got a lot of good things. Why? Somebody's grace was extended to me. Somebody's grace. Hey, but not only that, mercy. Don't you enjoy receiving the mercy of God? Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve, okay? Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. You don't get what you deserve. And boy, God's given so much of it to us. I think it's okay for us to offer it to those around us. Just a little mercy. We can be merciful. All right, we can do it. Somebody may do you wrong. It is not necessary for you to seek to kill them. And you say, well, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, but you'd almost do it with your tongue. It's okay not to do that, all right? It's okay. And now, please don't follow me through life looking for me to violate what I'm preaching. I am human, all right? But I'm telling you, this ought to be our goal. This ought to be our goal. It ought to be to extend mercy. Not only that, peace. Peace. Look with me real quick. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. If you're going past Hebrews, stick your finger in there. We're going to come back to Hebrews, all right? Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Just a couple of verses. I want you to see a couple of things here in the Word of God. And Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Man, this is a tough verse. You talk about stuff you wish wasn't in the Bible, here's a verse. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You say, well, I'm out on that verse. If it be possible, it ain't possible. Wait a minute. We're too quick to decide it's not possible. Well, the Bible says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Much as you can. Go then to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. This thing called peace, all right? This thing called peace. Hebrews chapter 12. I want you to look at verse 14. What does it say we're to follow with all men? Peace. Follow peace with all men. Now, yep, there's other things, but right now we're going to struggle to get past peace, all right? We struggle to get past that peace. But we're to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hey, we're to follow those things. Give it everything to God. You know what? You do not have to agree 100% with somebody to have peace between you and them. That is not a requirement. Not a requirement. I've got a friend I'm thinking of, not more than that, but I could have an argument with him at the drop of a hat, but I know what not to say. You got anybody like that? You just know what not to say. If you wanted to argue, go ahead, say it. You got it, man. And I mean, it can get vehement. But you don't have to do that, all right? You do not have to do that. Sticking with the truth, Bible, by the way, will help us to spread peace rather than confusion and conflict and carnality. Let's stick with the truth. We'll have a better chance of spreading peace, all right? Spreading peace. Hey, let me just ask you tonight, what about your relationship? What's the basis for it? Should be truth. Should be truth. The bond that holds a relationship together ought to be love. And boy, the business of that is for the truth's sake. And man, the truth ought to always be uppermost in our mind. We want to preserve it. We want to proclaim it. We want to propagate it. We want to give it everything we've got, all right? And very simply, what are we talking about? Well, the way we go about it is grace, mercy, and peace, okay? Grace, mercy, and peace. If we'll put that into movement in our life, it'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. But that requires great effort on our part. That requires us, when we get up on the wrong side of the bed, to make some adjustments before we go out and face the world, all right? Yeah, when things aren't going your way, well, I can't help it. It just keep your mouth shut next time. Just keep your mouth shut. Oh, listen, our relationships ought to be different than the world. Totally, completely different. How about yours? Are they? Are they? Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you'd help us. Help us to see the truth of ourselves. Help us to look at ourselves and realize, you know, hey, our relationships, they could be better if we'd have it based upon truth. And Lord, if we'd work at it a little bit more and extend a little more mercy and a little more grace, work towards peace, we'd have better relationships with people. A lot better relationships. Lord, help us to struggle for that. Help us to work for that. And Lord, above everything else, to seek to please you in the relationships we have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. It's good to have you tonight. You're dismissed.